Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Stone Guardian,
Stone Guardian,
Crystal Keeper,
Crystal Keeper,
Gym Lovers of Rockham,
Gym Lovers of Rockham,
welcome to There's a Rock at Rockham.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to There's a Rocks It Out. I am your host, Mary Brown. I am coming to you live on this beautiful Saturday, July 3rd from Amarillo, Texas. And you are listening to the Psychic Talk Radio Network. This show is sponsored by the Tarot Guild, the international organization for tarot lovers, students, and professional readers since 2004. Check out the Tarot Guild by going to www.thetarotguild.com. And I think it's going to be a pretty fun, interesting, kind of different show today. Our topic for today is miracles. We're going to be talking about miracles. And our featured stone of the month of July is turquoise. And we'll be talking about turquoise as well as taking your calls. This is a live call-in show where you can chat about, you can share your miracle stories if you want to, if you have one, or what you think of them. Do you believe in miracles? What do you think they are? Or you can ask for a mini crystal reading, which is a little bit different from other mini readings that we do on the network. This one I use, usually I just use my crystal dice, or sometimes I'll use a crystal oracle card as well. It really depends on what kind of question you're asking when you want a reading. And since this is a live call-in show, I guess I better give you that number. The number to call is 714-816-4628. That number again, in case you didn't get it, is 714-816-4628. Okay, and if you want to ask a question, share a story, be live on the air, remember to press the number 1 on your dial pad. That sort of raises your hand and lets me see on the switchboard here that you would like to be on the air. All right, and we have a bunch of callers already. I'm going to talk a little bit about the card of the day today, which is posted on the Psychic Talk Radio Network Facebook group. If you haven't joined, you need to join our Facebook group. We also have a page. You can find that easily by going to psychictalk.net/Facebook page. Join the group. I post a card of the day in there every day. And we're going to talk about the card of the day a little bit before I start taking calls. And it is the turquoise card. I did it on purpose. I pulled that card on purpose just in case anybody hasn't seen turquoise. There's a beautiful picture of the stone and some artwork in the back of it. And this card comes from the Eternal Crystals Oracle Cards by Jade Sky with artwork by Jane Marin. And the message on the turquoise card is about balance, and the turquoise is connected to the throat and heart chakra. So balancing our heart, balancing our throat, that's the essential way in which a lot of people look at turquoise, and that's because of the color. You know, turquoise has green and blue in it, those throat and heart chakra colors, and you know, as far as this particular oracle deck, connecting it to the idea of balance, you know, the message that they give with this card is that it's time to balance out all of the different aspects of your life. You know, if you've been too focused on one single area, that can kind of throw you out of balance sometimes. You got to remember about everything else. You know, so often we see people do that I think the most common example of that is when somebody's really, really focused on career. They're really, really focused on their work, and they become, like, you know, obsessed with it. They're working even when they're not working, and all the focus is put on there. And so what suffers are the things that are out of balance because of that. Too much focus on work, maybe not enough focus on health, maybe not enough focus on family and relationships. So that's what we mean about balance, you know, all those areas of our life. And, of course, they're connected to the throat and the heart chakra. They're connected to all the chakras, right? But it's so easy to look at crystals and look at their color and then make those associations like, oh, this is green, so this will be good for the heart chakra. This is blue, this will be good for the throat chakra. But turquoise is kind of interesting because traditionally it's had a lot of other associations with it. And again, we'll get into that a little bit later in the show, as well as talking about miracles. And, you know, it was kind of a weird thing to come up with that topic. It just sort of came to me. So when an idea comes to me like that, when I'm thinking about, you know, what are planning the show and stuff, I think, okay, you know, there's a message here. I'm supposed to talk about this, not necessarily having a plan. But, you know, I just follow that. I follow the signs. And, you know, there's some really interesting things around the idea of miracles. And a really funny thing that I found immediately was, like, if you just do a new search for the word miracle, you see it used in so many different kinds of ways. Now, right now, of course, most of the things that, you know, I would say what's really trending right now, of course, is that collapse of that condominium in Surfside, and the rescue recovery efforts are still going on, and then there's a hurricane supposed to be coming, and, you know, so you have a lot of people asking for miracles. They're asking for a miracle that somehow those inside the building who have managed to survive while waiting to be rescued. You know, so that's where the word is coming up a lot right now. And the other thing that's kind of weird is that I got an email from a listener who was asking me what crystals can be used for manifesting miracles. And, you know, I've been wrapping my head just around that question. Now, I know, you know, I did a search on that, crystals for manifesting miracles. I'm like, what in the world? You know, and I use crystals for everything. I never thought of that, using them to manifest miracles. And I've noticed that, you know, there's some bloggers out there that will recommend certain crystals for manifesting miracles, but I have a totally, totally different take on the subject. And again, we'll get to that later. Why don't we go ahead and start off and take some calls, since all these people in the caller queue have been waiting a little bit already, and why should we make them wait any longer? So I'm going to go ahead and take our first call. But real quick before I do that, if you don't want to call in and you want to post your question in our chat room, we have a really cool new, it's really easy to find. It is on our psychictalk.net website. And you can find the chat room easily by going to our shows. So if you click, like, listen to our shows and listen live, and you find today's show, you will see underneath the player on the page is our chat room. And, of course, in a lot of the promotion that our CEO, Dax Carlisle, was putting out today, I think he's got that link right there. And it's really easy to find, and you can always post a question in chat as well if you're a little bit shy and don't want to talk to the public at large. All right, so let's see. Our first call is from area code 443. Area code 443, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you? My name is Suzanne.
Suzanne, how are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland, and I would love to have a mini crystal reading. I've never had one.
All right, Maryland. Oh, you know, when I was a little kid, I thought Maryland was a magical place because my name's Mary. I'm like, wow, there's a land for me. Okay, so is there any particular question you had that you wanted a reading
just
on?
A spiritual journey, awakening.
On your spiritual journey and awakening, okay, for yourself.
Yes.
And let's just see what comes up in the crystals for that. All right, spiritual journey and awakening. Wow. Okay. You know what's really kind of interesting here is since I use crystal dice, right, I look at, you know, the similarities, you know, in the numbers that come up, for one thing. And the number 5 comes up 4 times for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you know about numbers, but you know the number 5 go ahead. What did you say?
No, I was going to say number 5 represents what?
Right. Okay. So challenges, you know, it
okay.
can be that moment, right? It can be changes, challenges, conflict, that kind of stuff. But the thing is, you know, so it says like, look, we've got to work at this. There may be a struggle
uh-huh.
with this, you know?
Right.
But when you overcome the challenge of a 5, sometimes you make the greatest gains as if, you know, if you had just gone along and never been challenged and it never got difficult, sure, you're still
right.
going to, you know, keep moving forward, right? But
mm-hmm.
something about overcoming hurdles. So that's
right.
that's the first thing that comes up with this. So you have to, you know, you don't have to do it now, but take some time to think about, okay, my spiritual progression here, what is challenging me? What is causing friction?
Mm-hmm.
What
exactly.
is causing conflict?
Yep.
What kind of changes
mm-hmm.
is this going to bring? And how do I overcome them? In the center
right.
of my crystals here is the number 4. And it is an amethyst. And amethysts are connected an awful lot to spirituality. Okay. They're connected to the crown chakra as well. You know, that idea of like, here we go, we connect to spirit, you know, through the
mm-hmm.
crown. The other thing that's interesting about amethyst and it coming up as a number 4s are about stability and structure. So maybe part of overcoming the challenges you may encounter on this journey you're on, maybe about, okay, how do I stabilize this? How do I structure
mm-hmm.
it? You know, what
okay.
kind of daily routine, daily,
uh-huh.
weekly, monthly, however you want to look at it. Think about it when it comes to structures like that. That could be as simple as doing a morning meditation every day, doing an evening meditation, or just it doesn't even have to be meditation and, you know, people think about meditation in all different ways because there's all different kinds of it. But taking this
mm-hmm.
time, taking a few minutes a day and setting it aside, getting into a routine, incorporating your spiritual journey into your everyday life. And what ways
okay.
can you do that is going to give you a sense of like, okay, you know, now I've got, you know, I'm really like absorbing this. It's really becoming a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that comes up here are 2 2s. Now 2s are interesting because it's about balance. So, you know, balance and stability, I think, are things that are you're going to get to that point, okay, where you've got everything
mm-hmm.
in balance, where, you know, you've got this stable thing, you've got the groove. Your path is one that you really feel like, okay, you know, this is, I'm not challenged anymore. And in a sense that it's not so difficult to do. But the big first step is going to be overcoming these challenges. Challenges when it comes to our sense of security. We have the red jasper that comes up here for that. Challenges when it comes to two heart chakra stones, the green aventurine and the rose quartz, you know. So, you know, your heart, you know, and the heart isn't just, you know, that organ, right? You know, it goes beyond that, you know. It's like, where are you feeling emotionally? How is it affecting your relationships? What challenges exist there, you know? So all of those things together, I think are really, you know, things that no one else is going to be able to do for you. Do you know what I mean? You're going to have to make those choices and decide how to overcome them. But I think the twos and the fours showing, you know, balance is coming to this and stability and structure may be the key.
Right.
So I hope that helps.
It does help. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks so much for calling. Have a great one.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right. Isn't that interesting how the idea of balance that came up in our card of the day came up with our first call as well? I always find that fascinating when those kind of little synchronicities happen. I love it. Okay, so let's go ahead and see who our next caller is. This is 50. Erica 650, caller, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Mary. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Carla.
Hi, Carla. Where are you calling from?
Hello. From New York.
Hi, where are you calling from? New York. New York City.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today?
I would love a crystal reading. I'm looking for some part-time work, and I was wondering if there's anything I should need. Should be aware of, or, you know, any insight.
Okay. Any insight into your quest for some part-time work? Okay, looking at that. Wow. Okay, so a lot of similarities here. It's like, I feel like this could happen very quickly for you. A lot of ones come up here. In fact, three ones come up. And, you know, what's interesting about that is that ones usually are about opportunities, you know, also taking the initiative, new beginnings, first steps, you know, all of these great things. I think it's a terrific sign when we're looking for something new to have a bunch of ones that come up here. Now, the other thing that is interesting about this is three ones and three twos. So twos often are about balance, harmony, partnership, as well. So as you look for these part-time jobs, there may very well be three of them that, you know, or three opportunities in particular that come about that you're considering. And it's really the fundamental thing of all of this is going to be what works for you. The stone that stands apart from all the others is a three, and it is black obsidian. Now, black obsidian is saying, look, don't overlook like the hidden factors, you know, and saying like make a deep dive into this, because the important thing is going to be like, even though it's a part-time job, you want it to be one that's harmonious, not just the people you work with, but that fits with your life. You don't want something that is going to wind up being such a hassle to get there every morning and to get back. You don't want an extended drive. You don't want, you know, all of those things. It's saying to look at that. And, of course, you will. And it's also saying, like, don't be afraid to try something you've never done before. You know, because sometimes we limit ourselves, right? We limit ourselves. It's like, I won't even look at that. I haven't even worked in that industry. I don't know anything about it. Kind of, you know, it's a weird thing to say, but kind of a freedom, right, to looking for a part-time job. Because it's like, we're not so invested. Like, this is my one thing, my one chance, everything's hanging on this. So you know, spread your wings a little bit. Look into different things that you may not have looked before. And also, there's a sense that this is going to happen pretty quickly for you. So I don't know how long it is that you've been searching, but, you know, next couple of weeks, this could already be a done deal for you. And there's like three things in particular you're going to be looking for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've been at it for a few months now, and, you know, obviously looking
at it. Well, then it's about, it won't be quick enough then, right?
Oh, it's absolutely. I would love it if it were to sort of, you know, come into fruition pretty soon. That would be great. Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling. You enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and let's go ahead and take one more call, and then we are going to start talking about turquoise and miracles. All right, so where our next caller is area code 916. Area code 916, caller, are you there? Hello? 916? Anyone? Air code 916. Okay. Maybe they stepped away from the phone. I'm going to put them back on hold, and we'll circle back around to them. All right, so let's talk about turquoise. Turquoise is one of my very favorite stones here in the Southwest. I live in Texas, but, you know, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, you see a lot of turquoise. It's like you can't be in any of those states without seeing turquoise. And it's such an amazingly beautiful stone. It makes such beautiful jewelry. And there's just something about it that's just so, I know, it just draws you in. What I love is, like, when I go to Santa Fe, you know, you see turquoise all over the plaza in the summertime, you know, with different vendors selling turquoise. And I have a friend in Santa Fe that's always like, oh, you know, here, I know how to pick the good one, you know. So there's quite a variety in turquoise. And, you know, when I was talking about the card of the day, you know, the message was balance. It was connected to the throat and heart chakra. And, you know, which makes sense, again, because of the color. And I thought, you know, why not also see what the expert, Judy Hall, connects the turquoise to. And turquoise, according to Judy Hall, is a really efficient healer. Provides solace to the spirit and well-being for the body. It's a protective stone and has been used in amulets, for a very long time. That it promotes spiritual attunement and enhances communication with the physical and spiritual worlds. She suggests placing it on the third eye to enhance our intuition and meditation. Placing it on the throat to release old vows, inhibitions, and prohibitions, and to explore past lives as well. And it's also considered a purification stone, dispelling negative energy and clearing electromagnetic smog, providing protection against pollutants in the environment, balances and aligns all the chakras. So there's a lot of different things that Judy associates it with, not just the throat chakra, the heart chakra, but all the chakras, the third eye, the solar plexus. And there's all different types of turquoise out there. And she, in particular, points out what is known as Tibetan turquoise. It has more of the green color in it, and she finds that it's a slightly different vibration than the turquoise that is more blue, and thinks it's very good for healing throat chakra blockages and suppressed self-expression and going all the way down the in ancestral lineage healing as well that those inhibitions may have arisen from. Okay. But she's right that it's been used as an amulet for a really long time. I mean, way back. Way, way, way back. I mean, it is, you know, probably one of the few gems that popular today as they were in ancient days. You know, the oldest pieces of wrought jewelry, you know, made with metal, the oldest pieces known to exist are 4 gold and turquoise bracelets. And they were found on the arm of a 7,500-year-old mummy of Egyptian Queen Zer. Now, they were unearthed, I think, yeah, well, we could say turn of the 20th century. And again, 7,500-year-old mummy these were found on. You know, it's one of the... It really is one of the few stones that's been just as popular today as it was in ancient times. It was valued by the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Aztec, the Maya, the Incas, Tibetans, Native Americans, and still continues to this day to hold a special place to people that live in those areas. Going to Santa Fe, you know, seeing turquoise and all along the southwest. It's even here in Amarillo, it's so common to see people wearing a piece of turquoise. And it's funny because I think, you know, sometimes when stones become so common, they get taken for granted and they don't seem that special anymore. But I don't think that has happened to turquoise. I don't think it's ever going to happen to turquoise. So what is turquoise exactly, you may ask? And I'm going to tell you. You know, we talk about the colors. It's usually anywhere from like a sky blue to a blue-green to even like an apple-green color. On the Mohs scale of hardness, it's between a 5 and a 6. You know, sometimes you'll see streaks that are white or greenish with brown or even black spots. And it's triclinic as far as the crystal system. Usually, you know, you usually see like these small grape or kidney-shaped aggregates of it. Especially if you get like a tumbled piece of turquoise, you're going to see like it's shaped more like a little grape or something. And the chemical composition, it's a copper containing basic aluminum phosphate. You know, it's a secondary mineral. You know, it's leached from surrounding earlier rocks. Right, and it is deposited in veins and is rounded masses called nodules by groundwaters. So the turquoise most commonly exists in like thin, irregular layers, which require the neighboring matrix or the neighboring minerals to be included in cut stones. Occasionally, they'll find nodules that don't necessarily have the matrix included, but for whatever reason, those tend to deteriorate with weathering. It sort of breaks down the gem. But the highest quality turquoise is found in veins thick enough to allow cut stones, which are free of matrix. So when they find a really big vein of it and take the turquoise out of that, those are the ones that are the most highly valued because they don't have all those, you know, surrounding minerals in them. But turquoise is almost always found as an opaque kind of microcrystalline mineral. The blue color of the stone comes from its copper content. And the greenish tinges that you see in some turquoise are caused by traces of iron. And that's something to remember when we talk about different colors of stones and stuff, or you go into a rock shop, you know, a lot of times when you see blue, you know, remember, okay, that blue is probably coming from copper content. And when you see green, okay, there's probably traces of iron in it. So that's like one little thing there that's going to help you like kind of already know a little bit more about the composition of your stones when you're in the rock shop and you're looking at all the pretty stones. You know, in the jewelry trade, often you'll see that it's either named or, you know, graded based on like place names, right? But those place names don't necessarily mean that that's where the stone came from. So if you go to a store and you see something listed as Persian turquoise, that doesn't necessarily mean that it came from Arabia, you know, or Iran. The Persian turquoise is the intense medium blue colored turquoise. You know, it's slightly harder, less porous, takes a high polish. Those place names is kind of a little confusing, don't necessarily mean that that's actually where the stone came from. It's more referring to the qualities of the stone itself. But that being said, you know, going along with that, the American or Mexican turquoise you might see is usually the ones that are like kind of the lighter blue or kind of a pale blue, or they can even be like a greenish or bluish green color and very porous, right? And Egyptian turquoise actually, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, look great, I'm going to say that, as the American or Mexican named turquoise, and that has to do with, like, it's got a higher iron level. So the most important thing about where the stones come from and how it affects the grading or the naming or the level of it is really just back to the stone and what it looks, what the coloration is like. And that's going to give you more idea. And some people, you know, prefer the greenish ones to the bluish ones. You can't go wrong. You know, I've had that question come up like, well, you know, what about, you know, all these properties associated, you know, the turquoise has these wonderful healing properties associated with it or spiritual properties associated with it. What if I get this little tumbled piece of turquoise and it doesn't look as pretty as the real expensive ones, does it still have those properties? And yes, it does. Okay. You know, it's not about how pretty the stone looks, right? And, you know, what's interesting is, like, before World War I, the primary source of turquoise was actually in Iran, so that Persian turquoise. But, you know, since then, America's actually become the most important producer of it. Since the last half of the 20th century. And, you know, some of the things that the ancients associated with turquoise, really kind of interesting. I mean, if we just start with the name of the stone, right? You know, it's taken many forms over the centuries. You know, the modern word turquoise is derived from the French pierre turquoise, which means Turkish stone. And it got that name probably because it first entered Europe by way of the eastern trade routes through Turkey. So people thought it actually came from Turkey. Okay. And the other thing that's interesting, too, is the E. Now, if you noticed on the card of the day, it's turquoise spelled with an E at the end. You know, when I posted in the chat room, for those of you on the chat room, I should look in the chat room and see if anybody's in there. I saw Dax in there earlier. But I posted a little comment about it without the E. So both spellings are actually accepted. You'll find probably more mineralogists are going to spell it, you know, without the E. I think the E maybe just got added at some point. You know, I haven't really seen like who added that, who added the E to turquoise, but it doesn't really matter because we can spell it both ways now. So what else is there, you know, about turquoise? You know, we listened to what, you know, Judy Hall had to say about it. been writing about it for a really, really long time, and all through the centuries. Pliny the Elder, even, right? And there's a interesting kind of story about how it was, you know, so treasured, right? There's a papyrus that they found from 4700 BC, right? You know, BC, before the Common Era, way back when. And it's the papyrus of King Snefru, right? And this is, it comes from Egypt, and it tells a tale of how a lost turquoise was recovered. And this papyrus, which was found, I think, in the 1800s, you know, the tale on it is called Balfour's Tale. And it's real short. The king, on one occasion, being disconsolate, sought diversion at the suggestion of Zazamankh. Zazamankh might have been like a, you know, an advisor to the king, I guess, on the lake of the palace. So he was rowed around on the lake palace with, on this magnificent boat with 20 fair maidens, and was made glad by the sight of the fair maidens rowing. It's like, this is 4700 BC we're talking about, right? But one of the maidens dropped a jewel of new turquoise from her hair, and she just could not be comforted for the loss. Then, so the king was upset by this happening, and then the king's advisor spoke a magic speech whereby the waters were divided and the jewel recovered, and then the king was much pleased, much pleased. So it's just kind of funny to me that, you know, this little stone, that was such a big deal. You know, and that it had to be recorded down on this papyrus, you know, it was so important, 4700 BC, that this happened, this poor maiden just couldn't get over her stone that she had in her hair falling into the water. I don't know. I love it. I find it delightful. But, you know, we have a lot, you know, of more, you know, maybe a little more contemporary than 4700 BC. There were a lot of things going on with stones throughout the centuries, and especially in the Middle Ages and earlier than that as well, with using stones for healing properties. And turquoise was one that they did. Now, they did make amulets of it too, right? Turquoise was actually used for centuries on the bridles of Arab horsemen and may have originally been the horse amulet of Persia. Horses were thought to pull the sun through the heavens and capable of keeping a sure course. The blue of the stone replicated the sky, added sure-footedness to the animals while on earth. And the same, you know, turquoise was also said to protect horses from thirst, throat chakra, overheating, and exertion. And they had a, you know, Persians had a strong belief in the evil eye and believed that the color blue blocked its effect. And camels, mules, horses, and Turkey and Iran today still have turquoise beads strung on their tail or mane for protection. And there's a lot of Arab authors, like the Arabic botanist Ibn el Bathyr, who lived from 1197 to 1248, claimed that if you took turquoise internally, it would make you immune. He also said that if you ground it up and took it in a drink, it would cure ulcers, stop growths in the eyes, and repair any resulting damage. And those same virtues were listed by a Roman physician in the first century A.D. And another Arabian authority, Ahmed Typhocyte, in 1253, said the turquoise is a stone of the same nature and quality as copper and is produced from the vapors of that metal. The turquoise possesses the quality of becoming clarified or bright in time of serene and clear weather, and vice versa, becomes dull and obscure when the weather is dark and cloudy. It brightens and refreshes the vision when it is looked at fixedly, so when you stare at it. And it's beneficial to the eyes when it is used together with eye salves. So, you know, there's a lot of different writers from all these different traditions, really, European traditions, as well as Arabic and Persian, Near East, Far East, and Europe, that looked and made this connection with turquoise being used in, you know, these salves and other ways for the eyes in particular. And there's another interesting thing too, where the concept of the turquoise as a stone of sympathy, and that's something that really became, you know, maybe some of you have heard of sympathetic magic. That's something that really was popular in like the 16th and 17th centuries. And it has a lot to do with, you know, things that look like the stone. So the stone, the blue color of the stone reminds people of the sky. You know, there's that idea of, you know, something that takes on the property of something else by looking similar to it, or it reminds us of something. And so maybe those qualities are also inherent in it as well. And turquoise was also, again, you know, there was that one writer who talked about it changing color. It's known to change color with wear and exposure, right? So if you're wearing a piece of turquoise jewelry and you notice like through the years it starts to change and everything, a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's so porous. Right? So if you wash it with soap or an astringent like alcohol, it's going to lighten the color of your stone. Okay? The absorption of oils will cause it to get darker or turn greener in hue. It is one, you know, it's not that hard of a stone, so it can be easily chipped and fractured along those little lines that you see in it naturally, because those lines are, you know, established by matrix impurities. Okay, so like again, you know, the turquoise that, you know, has the minerals around it, and that it becomes a part of the turquoise, and you see those little lines in the stone or whatever. Yeah, it can fracture along those lines, so you don't want to try to drop it. But the funny thing about all of that is the fact that, you know, it's a hardness and it's the matrix, right, that contributed to it being fragile. There's a lot of historians over the centuries that actually attribute that fact that it can, you know, break apart emotional influences or the stone's ability to absorb misfortune. So they thought, oh, your turquoise broke. Well, it had absorbed all that negativity, all the bad times, or, you know, it absorbed all the emotions and it just fell apart. So, you know, look at it, you know, a number of ways, but if you look at, you know, the composition of the stone, then, you know, the answer seems maybe a little less wild, you know, compared to absorbing all the misfortunes. You know, there's one other thing about turquoise that I thought was kind of interesting, and it goes back to, you know, the idea of like, what does it mean to us today? There's so many different things that the ancients of all these believed about turquoise. And, you know, Judy Hall talks about what are some uses it can be used for today as well. There's a lot of different and wonderful tales and stories from various Native American tribes and peoples that I think are really worth looking into and reading about. You know, there's a great one about the Hopi people, and who, you know, are in the legend, you know, it's called The Birth of the Hopi and the Rescue from the Flood. The Hopi people are said to have come from the underworld. They are said to have originated from a great skeletal creature in the underworld. This creature was very handsome and beautifully adorned with gems. Turquoise hung from his neck, and ears were decorated with earrings of turquoise. And from this common ancestor, the Hopi emerged from the earth and traveled to the east, the source of the sun and all life. And in their travels, they encountered many trials and tribulations. The last of these was a great flood of water. To triumph over the flood, the chiefs of the tribe met in council, and they prepared a gift of two large spheres made of powdered shell and turquoise. The gift was presented to the water serpent who caused the flood, and with this offering, the land immediately became dry, and they were saved and forever lived on the dry land. You know, so things like that. That's just the Hopi. There are a lot of, you know, the Navajo have their own origin story involving turquoise. It's such a fascinating stone to really delve into. And you were talking like from 4700 BC till today, I think it still acquires so much, you know, more history, more folklore. Things happen, and the stone's involved, and so a story comes from that. That's how all our stories about stones from the ancient world have come about. And so they don't, you know, stop today. You know, things keep moving. Change is inevitable. So if you are interested in working with turquoise and you get a piece you like, you know, pay attention to what it does for you. Maybe you're going to come up with your own story of your turquoise. All right. So it is a little past the bottom of the hour here. I want to go ahead and let you know, before we start talking about miracles, I want to let you know what is coming up this week on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. We've got a lot of great shows coming up. Our next show is going to be on Monday, July 5th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And that will be followed by Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, Spiritual Guidance Radio with Angelic Channel and energy healer Catherine Hahn. She's going to be giving free on-air guidance. And I will be back next Saturday, July 10th, with my co-host, Dr. Dax Carlisle. For the Tarot Today radio show, we're going to be doing open lines and free tarot mini readings all show long, and that's going to be 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern next Saturday. And then next Sunday, July 11th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, it is the Magic Universe show with your host, Sharona Rapsick. She has a special guest, personal coach, Dr. Lisa R. Berry, and they will be also taking your calls, doing free tarot mini readings with open lines as well. And if you want to see the list of all our upcoming shows, you can find that easily by going to psychictalk.net/upcoming. All right. Okay, so we have some time left to talk about miracles. Miracles, miracles, miracles. You know, what are they, right? What are they, and do we even notice them when they happen? You know, and I want to go back to that question of that I got from a listener of what crystals can I use to manifest miracles? And I think to myself, can we really manifest miracles? If it's something that we can manifest, does that sort of take it out of the category of being a miracle then, because then we've done something, we've taken action, you know. Is it something that has to be solely supernatural with no human interaction to happen to be a miracle? Now, I know if you are, you know, if you're a member of certain religions, you know, different religions have different ways of, I guess, verifying or validating what their believers may feel is a miracle. So that might take on a different connotation. But I feel like really we tend to define miracles ourselves. It's like when against all odds, the unexpected thing, you know, happens and saves the day. You know, or for some people, it's just that something appears to them and they see it and they're like, wow, I saw an angel. That's a miracle. And I think it's really, we're at the point now where we have to define it for ourselves. You know, and people are doing that. You know, the news search that I did, everything's a miracle, you know, in all different areas, you know, whether it's sports, whether it's medicine. And you can look at the vaccines for COVID-19 and say, wow, that's a miracle that we actually have a vaccine that works. And in that short period of time, because science doesn't usually move that quickly, we had no way of knowing it. So for a lot of people, yeah, it's a miracle, you know, or, you know, finding a donor when you need an organ transplant, you know, that's a miracle. And sometimes I think, you know, miracles happen and we don't necessarily recognize them when they do happen. And like I said, with the Surfside collapse in Miami, with a lot of things happening, a lot of tragic circumstances around the world, you've got a lot of people, it feels like the whole planet is praying for a miracle. And I found this really interesting story, commentary, you could say, about miracles. It actually comes from Judaism. It comes from the Talmud, right? And it's about this rabbi who entered a bathhouse when the bathhouse floor collapsed beneath him and a miracle transpired on his behalf. He stood on a pillar and saved 101 men with one arm. So that does sound miraculous, but let's really examine it, right? Because the way it's explained in the Talmud, the commentators on it explained that it wasn't that this guy, this rabbi, had superhuman strength, but he reached out and grabbed one person's hand, who held on to another person's hand, who held on to another person's hand, and a human chain was formed that saved the lives of 101 people. So it doesn't have to be a supernatural occurrence to be a miracle. It can simply be people working together, joining their hands to save lives, to help each other out. And I think that that's important, that when we continue to help each other, to work together, to offer support and encouragement, and yeah, prayer. You can pray for a miracle. You can pray for a miracle to happen. You can pray for a miracle to happen to someone else, you know. And I think that, you know, that's the thing, is that almost every type of miracle that we can manifest, as the listener talked about, is going to happen because we're helping each other. We're helping these miracles to happen. You know, everybody knows that that funny story. You know, I think it started like, you know, it's like a joke, right? You know, the story about the man who, you know, saw the water rising, a terrible storm happen, and there was this big flood, and here's this, you know, in this case, a Christian man saying, I will trust God, and God will send a divine miracle to save me. And, you know, as he's standing there, the neighbors came by his house and said, hey, you know, we've got plenty of room for you here. You know, here's a boat. You know, come get in our boat and we'll help you. And he's like, no, thank you. I know God is going to send a miracle and he's going to save me. And then, you know, next, you know, some people in a canoe come by and it's like, come on, well, get in our canoe. We can help you. And he's like, no, thank you. And then next thing you know, the police send a helicopter to save this guy from this flood. He's like, no, waiting for God. God's going to send a miracle. Well, he said no to all of the help from his neighbors, from strangers, from the police helicopter. And he didn't make it. He drowns, right? And he gets to heaven, you know, as the story goes. And he looks at God and says, okay, look, you know, I put all my faith in you. Why didn't you save me? And God says, you know, I sent you a boat. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a helicopter. What more were you looking for? You know. So that's the thing, that story and that other, you know, in the little, you know, anecdote from the Talmud, I think tells us a lot about miracles. Tells us that sometimes, you know, we can ignore them, right? We can ignore the help, or we can fail to recognize, you know, that this is our miracle, or that it may not be coming in the form that we are expecting it to, you know. As far as that real question of using crystals to manifest miracles, there isn't a crystal in particular that I recommend for that. I recommend crystals for everything. I do. You know, so I think use any crystal. You know, if you want to designate it like this is the one, you know, fine. But keep your mind open as to what form a miracle that you are asking for or hoping to manifest can take, you know, and realize that sometimes you could easily, you know, miss it. Because I believe, at least, you know, I believe miracles, small and large and teensy-weensy, happen every day. I think they happen every day. I think we don't always recognize them when they're happening. And I think that, you know, it doesn't have to meet, you know, a textbook definition for us to consider it a miracle. There's things that have happened in my life that I consider a miracle. And a lot of times when I look back on it, I realize that these things came about either through the help of other people or by something I did. So manifesting, right? But really, you know, that idea of like God helps those who help themselves. Like we can't be passive. You know, we can't just sit there like the guy, you know, in the flood and wait for something, you know, that fits our idea, you know, of what a miracle is. Wait for something supernatural to happen. Sometimes the things that happen quite naturally and terrestrially and through the help of others and by us helping others and others helping us are sometimes the greatest miracles ever. So just wanted to leave you with that for today. I hope that you all enjoyed the show. You have a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful 4th of July for those in the U.S. It is the 4th of July tomorrow. Enjoy your weekend, everybody, and I will be back with a Tarot Today radio show with my co-host Dax next Saturday. Bye-bye, everybody.